Talk about today's gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. In these days of fasting, as we are approaching the festival of the Incarnation, the Church gives to us the words of Christ Himself, a stern and clear warning. Are we going to be like the guests who are called to this feast of the King's Son? Now one refused to come because he had acquired a plot of land. This is a man who possessed something of the earth, and he became a slave then to the earth. The others could not come because, well, they were too busy. There was no time for God. One of them had taken a wife, and therefore he didn't care to share in the joy of the bridegroom. Why? His heart had already become too full of a human love. Three examples to give us a moment to pause and ponder about how we are responding to God's invitation. This pre-Christmas season, you'll also hear called Advent. The word Advent means toward the coming of the Lord, that is. Every year when we enter this pre-Christmas season, it's a peculiar time when you and I stand face to face before the judgment of God, and we are invited to listen more carefully to our conscience, to our hearts. Every time we come to communion, for example, did we make peace with anyone with whom we may have had a variance in this past week? To receive Holy Communion and yet to be at odds in some way with God or creation or neighbor or even within ourselves is then to mistreat the gift of the Eucharist. Because what is the gift of the Eucharist? It's the gift of right ordered love. Just as I made the announcement at the beginning, I was talking about liturgy as a hierarchically ordered arrangement, right? Everyone is in their proper place, and yet there's this harmony and there's a symphony, right? Everything working together in right relationship, and is fully expressed when we all come up to receive the one Eucharist. Right ordered love. In these remaining days, therefore, of preparation, if we do not make peace with God through a good confession and seek out earnestly reconciliation with any of our neighbors, then it treats lightly the event of the Nativity when the angels sang from heaven, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to all of good will." What is that peace of which the angels declared on Christmas night? It's a rightly ordered way of life with God, with ourselves, and within ourselves, with everyone around us, and with creation itself. In today's epistle, the Apostle Paul aptly describes certain acts that destroy peace. They destroy the order of life and the ordered relationships that we're all called to have. He names some of them. It's not the whole entire list, but he says immorality, impurity. Here's a big one, inordinate passions, evil desires, and covetousness. What's covetousness? It's a form of idolatry. It's a form of idolatry. And then later he goes on to continue this list. Anger. Anger is ill temper, bad temper, malice. Malice is a vicious mind, abusive language. That is words that are meant to harm or tear down another person and their character. And he speaks of foul language, obscene and vulgar language, words. The Apostle Paul is not listing all those and instructing the people as one more legal requirement. He teaches that if you have stripped off the old man, then you will be able to live the new man, Jesus the Christ. Christianity is not about living a moral, new moral code and about virtuous living. As I always say, the pagans and the atheists can be moral and virtuous people. Christianity is about a personal relationship with the living person, Jesus the Christ. Advent, this season of Advent, therefore, is a unique time, a special time, a peculiar time to ponder prayerfully how your relationship is with the Lord God Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our Lord has invited you and me to a banquet. What have you perhaps placed in front of him? What perhaps have you prioritized over him? Even more so, how do you approach? In what spirit do you approach the divine liturgy? You come in a spirit of awe and wonder that we're able to stand before Almighty God, and he actually wants you and me to sit at his banquet table. Ponder that when you're driving to church. Now is the season, today, in these remaining days, to make an examination of conscience and acknowledge truthfully your sins. And don't let it become a cause of sadness. Rather, let it turn you into deep repentance. And then make that good confession. Taking seriously the great blessing of the liturgy, we take it seriously. It means doing everything we can to arrive at the divine liturgy before 10:30 a.m. And it certainly means not arriving late due to carelessness or laziness. Note those words, carelessness or laziness, right? Of course, things come up with mothers with new babies and so forth. Yes, there's that. But do an honest examination of your own conscience right now and say, am I really doing the best I can to make it to the liturgy? Not at 10:30, but to get a little beforehand, because I'm coming to the Lord's banquet. He's invited me to be here today. Do you realize how many people have not been called or don't answer that call? And what preparations should we be making for this weekly banquet? First, do you take time out of each day to spend it with God? These are the preparations that you can do to celebrate the Lord's Day. Think about it. John Paul II used to write this. Benedict XVI has written this. The saints write this. I come to liturgy, I receive the Eucharist, and really the rest of the week I'm spending in gratitude to God, thanking him for the liturgy, thanking him for the gift of the Eucharist, and guess what? When I'm praying every day, it's actually at the same time preparing me for the next Lord's Day. Second, throughout the week in gratitude for the gift of the Eucharist, in gratitude for the liturgy? Am I aware of my neighbor and making acts of selfless love? And am I forgiving and acting mercifully to those around me? That is the sign to God that I am grateful to you, Lord, for what you have given to me. And when you're practicing these acts of selfless love and these acts of mercy, you are then also preparing yourself to celebrate again the Sunday liturgy. And third, do you make every effort to attend Saturday Great Vespers? The Church teaches that the liturgical assembly should make every effort to attend Saturday Great Vespers. These are not priestly services. Again, that's picking up from the Western Church. Oh, the office, the liturgy of the hours. That's for the priests to pray. That's for the monks to pray. No, not for me. No, the liturgy is the work of the Church. Therefore, if you're a member of the Church, liturgy is our work. The 45-minute Saturday evening service is the preeminent way the Church asks the liturgical assembly to prepare to celebrate the Lord's Day, the day of the resurrection. Hence, as we continue this nativity fast, don't let it be a Pharisaical act where you're just meeting a rule. You're just meeting a moral prescription. If that is your reason, stop the fast, because it becomes an act of sin, a pride on your part. No. But yes, keep the fast. Why? Let it shake you out of your complacency. Let the fast stir within you an awareness of God, because as we become more aware of God, what happens? We become aware of our neighbor. It always happens. If you are truly becoming aware of God and what he has done for you and how he has brought you into a relationship of love, you will notice your neighbor and love them. The fast, if practiced in the right spirit, makes you aware of those moments of your heart and how, or the movements of your heart. Fasting makes you aware of the movements of your heart and how you are treating God, how you are treating your neighbor, and how you really are treating yourself. If you are doing the fast correctly, it will be leading you to prayer, greater prayer, which is what? More greater communion with God. And if you are practicing the true spirit of fasting, it really does make you aware of how you stand in relationship to the people around you, and you will be moved out of love for them and God to seek reconciliation. These are the ways that we are preparing to celebrate the great festive event called the Nativity of our Lord and God, Savior Jesus Christ. Christ is among us.